Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service here at Unity Center Light. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. And we always like to invite you to the Zoom fellowship that happens right after this this message and meditation. And also next Sunday, which is the first weekend of October, the first Sunday in October, we're going to have a combination in-person and Zoom service. So if you're interested in that, please look in the e-newsletter or weekly update and make sure you go to our website and register if you're coming in person. And also, if you enjoy this message and it's inspiring to you, we welcome your donations to support Unity Center of Light. We really appreciate all the donations that you send. And again, if you click on the More button right below this frame, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see all the ways that you can support Unity Center of Light. And we thank you for your donations. Mm-hmm. And right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Welcome, Unity family. Good morning, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we'll have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, September 25th. The key word is harmony, and the affirmation is, harmony is the song of my life. Harmony is an integral part of music, adding layers of intricacy and depth. Without harmony and rhythm, a musical composition would be little more than a dissonant cacophony. With the resolution of each chord and the synchronization of every note, a symphony can touch my soul with peace. Similarly, my soul finds peace as I seek a chord in my relationships and every interaction I have. From a place of love and tranquility, I bring compassion to every situation. With the give and take of compromise, I build understanding and trust. I approach every interaction with faith and the expectation of harmonious results. Harmonizing my mind and heart with the world around me, I welcome and do my part to create goodwill, meaning, and beauty. And the scripture is taken from Romans 12:16, and it reads, live in harmony with one another. Amen. And now Reverend Butch will bring us the message for today.
Thank you, hon. So, last week we were talking about the idea of the science behind detachment. And today we're going to talk about the science behind awakening. And again, we're trying to understand the depth of these different spiritual ideas so that we can understand how do we really incorporate them into our lives. I think we get caught up a lot of times in the intellectual understanding without really, getting into the depth of how does it feel in our being to work with these different divine ideas. And, I know that terms like awakening, we have to awaken, or in last week's lesson, the term detachment, they really challenge our intellectual ability to reconcile these concepts with our real life experiences. They just seem to linger on the fringes of our reality, seemingly never actually becoming a real part of our everyday thinking. For example, the answer to the question, how do I awaken, is intellectually challenging to the present belief that we have that we're already awake. So what am I supposed to be awakening to? And the more we study, I still, like I said, believe that these ideas stay on the fringe of our intellect and not really something that we understand how to actually go through. Okay. So as we said, a lot of these concepts challenge the present reality of human consciousness. But what we're striving for is an esoteric understanding. Esoteric meaning we're looking for the hidden meaning, okay, rather than the exoteric, which is sort of the public understanding of these spiritual principles. In other words, the general understanding. So you hear things like detachment or awakening, and there's a general understanding, an exoteric understanding. But we want to get to the esoteric, the hidden meaning, all right? So let's try to figure out what may be behind our resistance to accepting the esoteric or spiritual life, okay? Now, I'm saying resistance, and I'm making an assumption, okay, that we all, because we have become comfortable where we are, there is either a conscious or unconscious resistance to making this switch. So is it that we just do not know how, or is it also that at some level we fear stepping into the unknown? So if that is so, and that's, you know, and that we have figured out, we have to figure out for ourselves, really. You know, so when I make these statements, you have to kind of think to yourself, what is it that's keeping me from really embracing these ideas and implementing them in my life? So once you figure that out, then, you know, the answer to the question, how do I awaken, could be living without fear, okay? And if, remember, notice I said could be living without fear. You know, what's keeping me back? It could be not understanding how to live without fear. Now, Hannah Arendt, in her book, Love and Saint Augustine, this is what she wrote. She said, fearlessness is what love seeks. Okay? Listen to that. Fearlessness is what love seeks. Such fearlessness exists only in the complete calm that can no longer be shaken by events expected in the future. Hence, the only valid tense is the present tense, okay? So this idea of living in the now, as taught, for example, in mindfulness, the study of mindfulness, a practice of mindfulness, the answer to living, you know, living in the now is the answer to living without fear. So is it possible that our fear, whether conscious or unconscious, is the anchor that keeps us glued to our present way of thinking and being, regardless of the promises made in living the metaphysical life, okay? So this is what Thich Nhat Hanh says. He says, we have a habitual fear inside of us. And I think last week I made a similar statement about we all fear something, okay? So Thich Nhat Hanh is saying we have an habitual fear inside of us. We're afraid of many things. The practice of mindfulness helps us to touch no fear, okay? So it's only here and now that we can experience total relief, total happiness, okay? The idea, again, of being in the now, all right? So here and now, think about it. Is it fear of the future or possibly fear of the past that keeps us from being fearless in this now moment? And again, these are things to think about. So fearlessness being the key to unlocking a better understanding of how to live the spiritual life. Okay? So there's a science behind all these statements about living in the now moment. Okay? So to help us with this exploration, let's look at an explanation of spiritual science and how it differs from mental science. Okay? So now, according to the Revealing Word, it says that mental science is the intelligence and rational use of mental powers in the systematic and orderly arrangement of knowledge. Okay? Spiritual science, though, is the seeking of truth and grasping the essential nature of reality. It is the orderly arrangement of the truths of being God, the mind of the universe, okay? So, however, spiritual science does not always conform to intellectual standards, okay? And that's the challenge that we're having, you know? But it is still a science. Even though it does not conform to intellectual science standards, it's still a science. And I say it doesn't conform to intellectual standards because a lot of things we hear from a spiritual perspective, just does not make sense to the rationale of our intellect, of the logic of our intellect. Okay? So spiritual science works with absolute ideas, while mental science works with limited intellectual and personal thoughts. Okay? So today's lesson is about the spiritual science behind awakening, which is seeking the truth needed to help us grasp the true nature of our being. All right, so now, let me just say, so the explanation that we just read explained that spiritual science works with absolute ideas, and you've heard this before, okay? Which brings up the question, what is an absolute idea, and how do I come to know what it is, okay? Now, from Hegel philosophy, this is what we read. He says, the absolute is a process of self-reflection. And that's really important. That is kind of the key. Knowing what the absolute is a process of self-reflection. And also, and so, reality, the absolute, comes to know itself through the human experience. The human spirit, meaning the human experience. So in self-reflection, we come to understand what is this concept called absolute, okay? Now, that might sound complicated, but it's really not, because it is basically what we have always been saying, that being, we come to know and understand ourselves through self-reflection, which we have said happens through the experience of prayer, meditation, and spiritual contemplation, okay? So when we practice those ideas of prayer, meditation, or spiritual contemplation, we are self-reflecting, all right? So self-reflection is the basis of these practices, and it is by way of self-reflection that we come to understand our resistance and possibly fear when we read or hear statements based on absolute truth, okay? So what is an example of absolute truth? Jesus has provided us with a lot of them that really just challenge us, okay? It's when the one we go over many times, Matthew 6:34, when he says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. You know, now our mental and physical nature has difficulty grasping the essential nature of that reality. So Jesus is saying you do not have to worry about tomorrow. But again, our mental and physical nature, or our mental science, says, yes, I have to worry about tomorrow, all right? That's what we're trying to negotiate, is how do we move into living from spiritual science as opposed to just only the logic and rationale of mental science. So with all this occurring in our neighborhoods, I mean, right in our neighborhoods, and it used to be, you know, you heard things going on, horrible things going on in other people's neighborhoods, but now we're hearing it in all neighborhoods. You know, so all the things that are occurring in our neighborhoods, in our country, and around the world, these teachings can seem irrational. However, what we are striving to awaken to is the understanding that it is not that the teachings are irrational. Rather, it is that we have not yet reached the level of consciousness to understand the difference between rational truth, which is based on intellectual reason and logic, and real truth that's based on a completely different level of consciousness. Okay? So to try to understand the teachings of Jesus, it's imperative that we realize Jesus was a teacher of consciousness. He called the level of consciousness he was teaching the kingdom of heaven, which, as we know, is the realm of divine ideas that manifest in our lives according to our ability to allow them to manifest or to express. Okay, so let me say that again. When Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven, okay, that was a level of consciousness he was talking about, not a place, because he said very clearly, the kingdom of heaven is not here, no low is there. It is within you, it is in the midst of you, right? So he was talking about a level of consciousness that is the realm of divine ideas that are manifest in our lives according to our ability to allow them to manifest. So for example, perfect health, prosperity, wonderful relationships, whatever it is you're asking for. The ideas for all that we desire in our lives reside within us, in the realm of divine ideas. So what we're asking for in prayer exists within us in the realm of divine ideas. As if it, you know, the Father knows what you want even before you ask. It is already within us. So the kingdom, as Jesus expressed it, is the realm within our consciousness where we come to know and understand how God works in our lives, okay? So Jesus actually spoke in the language of the kingdom of heaven consciousness, meaning he spoke from the realm of divine ideas, which when understood and followed, will produce perfect harmony in our lives. But at our present level of consciousness, we have only a vague idea of what he's saying, okay? But not enough to comprehend. We have a vague idea, but not enough to comprehend how to truly implement and live by what he taught. And I'm using Jesus as an example, but there are other many great masters that we've been reading where we might have been baffled by, you know, some of the things they're sharing, okay? So that is what this study is about, how to awaken to the innate part of our being that knows how to interpret and understand the kingdom of heaven language that Jesus was speaking. So as you heard me say before, the word educate means to draw into the forefront of our consciousness that which already exists within us, okay? So the dictionary definition of educate is to develop the innate capacities. The word innate meaning that which is possessed at birth, you know, possessed as an essential characteristic. And more specific to this discussion, educate means to bring forth that which is inherent in our consciousness. Okay? So Jesus was striving to awaken that which is innate within us, the kingdom of heaven or Christ consciousness. And he did it by speaking in that language. So the bottom line is we have forgotten, we've fallen asleep to who we really are, which makes it nearly impossible to understand the language Jesus was speaking in. Yes, we can understand it, but the whole idea is, how do we implement it? How do we understand the esoteric meaning, the hidden meaning, okay? And to give more clarity to the commonly used word awaken, in its original sense, what is it, the word etymology, I think it's called, in its original sense, okay, it means to spring into being. Awaken means to spring into being. Awaken means to arise to our original state of being. Okay? It means to remember who we really are. So to review, the vehicles for awakening are, you can say it with me, prayer, meditation, spiritual contemplation, and now we added self-reflection. All of them, you know, working together, all of which lead to a better understanding of the truth of our being. So I think it's safe to say that we all want the answers to our deeper life questions. Let me say that again. I think it's safe to say that we all want the answers to our deeper life's questions. You know, I read a very simplistic and fundamental, I read on the internet, a very simplistic and fundamentalist explanation of how God answers our prayers. Okay, it explained that God answers our prayers in three ways. It says these are what they are. God says yes, and you receive what you ask for. God says no, and you have to accept it and move on. God says not yet, and you learn to be patient and wait. Okay. So as I shared, this is a fundamentalist explanation of how God answers our prayers. We are learning that there is no anthropomorphic being saying, yes, no, not yet. Rather, if you think about the spiritual science, there's a divine union between our mind and divine mind, and we're striving to awaken to that conscious union, okay? Now, once we awaken and spring back to our original state of being, all right, we get the original meaning of awaken, to spring back to our original state of being, we will intuitively know the divine timing of yes, no, not yet. Okay. We will feel the answers to our prayers in our spirit. Yeah? And how do we know that this will happen? Because all of us have already felt divine timing moving within our being in certain instances in our lives. You know, I wish I could, right now, this is what I'd like, be in person, have you raise your hand. If you have felt the divine timing in answers to your prayers just moving in your being, you know, letting us know when our thoughts about something were right, not yet ready, okay? Now, Deepak Chopra calls this effortless spontaneity, which is a state of grace. And grace is a state of mind where what you ask for and a manifestation of your asking are so close that they appear to be a miracle, okay? That's what we're striving for, okay? It's this close connection where we clearly understand what we're asking for. There is a definite yes, not coming from something outside of us, but our own spirit is letting us know, yes, you're ready for that, or no, that is not the step you want to take, the choice you want to make, or whatever, or it's coming, but it is not here yet. Our own spirit, and like I said, I know that every one of us has had that feeling. What we're working on, the awakening, is to purposely take the time to listen, self-reflect, and listen for those inner answers. And again, in today's world, we struggle with understanding the reason behind many of the things that are occurring in our neighborhoods, our country, and the world. But Jesus said to us in Matthew 11, 28, 30. Now I'm going to read this verse, and then we're going to work with it. Okay? He said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy burdened. Thank you, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Let me say that part again. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay? Now, Deepak Chopra explains that there is a direct correlation between the words yoke and yoga. He said they both mean unity. And he says the word yoga is a Sanskrit word meaning to yoke or to unite. It also means to join, to be in conjunction with. So when Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, he's saying, if you join your mind with my mind and allow what I am teaching you, you will awaken to who you truly are. And once you are awake to the truth about yourself, you will co-create the answers to your prayers. Okay? So no longer is it like waiting for the answer to the prayer. You co-create the answer because the answer is already within you. It's already within your spirit. Okay? But the real science to awakening is found in when he said, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And even though those are simple words, we can understand on a human level, you know, on a spiritual level, that true meaning may still elude us. Why? Because as Deepak Chopra explains in his book, The Third Jesus, in the midst of our challenging experiences, divine grace seems a remote promise at best. But in order for grace to work, our life must change. And for our life to change, our consciousness must change first, okay? And for our consciousness to change, we must awaken to who we truly are, meaning spring back to our original self. And again, I say, I know that can be annoying to keep hearing we need to awaken, to spring back to our original self, because the question remains, how do I do that? Okay. Well, let's go back and paraphrase the Hegel philosophy that we read earlier. I'm paraphrasing now. So awakening to the absolute, and we can call that God, or our God self, is a process of self-reflection. And the absolute, God, comes to know itself through the desires of the human spirit. For example, when Jesus declared, "I and the Father are one," he was expressing that he came to know God, and he realized that God knew him to be a reliable expression of that which is divine, okay, or that which is true, okay? So as he expressed in John 14:11, "Believe me when I say I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me," okay? And what he's saying about himself is also true. We are in the Father, and the Father is in us. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. You are in the Father, and the Father is in you, okay? Again, he expressed it another way when he says, "The kingdom of heaven," or "the kingdom of God, is within you. It is in the midst of you," okay? And he said, you know, so believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or at least believe in the evidence of the works themselves, the things that I do. So our life, your life, my life, becomes the evidence of our awakening, evidence of our springing back to our original self. Okay? So to better understand the process that caused us to fall asleep, all right, and you might have heard me explain this before, but I think it's a good understanding of what caused us to fall asleep. So Deepak gives an analogy of how life has caused us to fall asleep and forget who we really are. He explains that when we are a child, when a child is born, that child is open, receptive, and available to the universe. The whole universe flows freely through that child. Why? Because the fearful, resistant, emotional ego has not yet been established within the child. The star child is still a human being. Or more appropriately, he says, for the purpose of this lesson, the child is a human just being. The child is still in that state of consciousness. Jesus referred to it, Matthew 18:4, when he said, "Whoever becomes humble like this child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Okay. But as the child becomes bombarded by its environment, parents, babysitters, relatives, teachers, doctors, ministers, right, it begins to realize that in order to survive, it has to develop an arsenal of reactions based on its feelings and emotions. So the child changes from a human being to a human feeling, and changes from "I am just because I am" to "I am because this is how I feel." And the human being is sacrificed for the human feeling. And then as we continue to engage ourselves further and further into the, you know, outer material world and less in our inner spiritual world, we develop a pattern of thinking based on our perception of what it takes to survive in the world. This is where the human feeling is sacrificed for the human thinking. Now it's no longer just a matter of how do we feel, but it's more about how we think we feel based on our perceptions and reactions to what we experience. And then as time goes by, we move into the adult world where our worth is judged by, you know, what we're doing, okay? You know, you think about people, you know, what do you do for life, you know, in your life, you know, what's your living made of? So to prove ourselves to be efficient and productive adults, human thinking is sacrificed for human doing. So here we are, four levels deep from our original self. Okay, not to say that any of those things are wrong, but they systematically took us away from our original self. So what do we need to do to get back to our original divine self? Well, I want to call on a very interesting master to talk up to explain this, Bruce Lee. I know everybody knows who Bruce Lee is. If you look him up on the internet, he has tons of really incredible quotes that he makes, but listen to this one. He said, "To be different from what you have become," and that's what we're talking about. How do I wake up, you know, from my, get back to my original self? "To be different from what you have become, you must have some awareness of who and what you have become," all right? And that's the biggest problem. If you're not willing to understand who you are now in comparison to what you might have been in pure spirit, okay, you have to understand that. And he says, our lack of self-awareness causes us to look to others to tell us who we are. That's deep. And we have more faith in what we imitate than what we originate. Okay? So Bruce Lee is saying we are more prone to remain as we are than to do the work necessary to awaken and remember who we truly are. And this quote from Ernest Holmes, his Creative Mind and Successes, it explains the spiritual work we need to do. He says, great men and women are the ones who get a vision and then go to work to make it come true. Never looking to one side or the other. That's what Jesus said. Keep a single eye, okay? But with one pointedness and calm determination, stick to the thing until it's accomplished. That's what we need to do, or that's what we are being called to do. I don't want to say need, but being called to do, to begin to waken up to the truth of our being, okay? So I'm going to leave you with this affirmation to work with this week. Okay, and this is from Science of Mind. Thank you, hon. It says, I speak peacefully, respectfully, and compassionately to myself. Everything in my life is sacred, and I live my life honoring the sacredness of each day. And so it is. Amen. All right, and now we will have meditation with Pamela.
So let's find that comfortable space. Place your feet flat to the earth and keep your spines nice and straight, and let's just shift our focus inward. Welcome this time to step away from the noise of your minds and reconnect with your divine nature. Take a moment now to breathe in and out and relax in these next few minutes. You may close your eyes or take a downward gaze. As you do, feel the energy of prayer move through you as you allow yourself to slow down. Take what is on your heart and mind into prayer, one prayer at a time, one moment at a time. Open yourself to the higher thoughts of life. What makes your heart happy, peaceful, and at ease? With these highest thoughts in mind, now connect them to your deepest faith. Faith in the unseen. Faith that you are loved, and a deep knowing that you are one with the love of God. Your highest thoughts connected to your deepest faith creates miracles in your life. In this awareness, allow yourself the sweet surrender of prayer. Give it all up to the living, loving energy of life itself, the energy of creation, the source from which all good flows. And now as you move to that secret place of the Most High, recall the feelings of these peaceful moments, these moments that your heart's desires are made manifest. So breathe deeply now and be still. And now take in another deep breath and come back into your day refreshed and aligned with your divine nature, knowing that all is well. We are so grateful, God, that you have heard our prayers this morning and you have answered them as you always do. We say thank you in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is and forever shall be. Amen.
Thank you, Hannah. So this is the time we open our hearts and minds, allow some of the treasure in our comes into our lives to move into our spiritual home to support the place that gives us great inspiration and inspires us to, live life from a very much higher consciousness. And we're very thankful for all the offerings that you send to Unity Center of Light to support us. So we ask you to hold your offering in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit as we say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. And now we have light notes.
Yes. Light notes for Sunday, September the 25th. Our next in-person Zoom Sunday service is October the 2nd. That's next Sunday. Please remember to register on the website, or you will find it also in your updates and your e-newsletter. On Saturday, October the 8th, the Women of Unity will once again get together, and we're going to have a late luncheon at our Unity office in the Kenhill Center. We'll meet at 2:30 p.m. Please text me to let me know what you will contribute to the lunch. And I sent out questions for discussion on this past Wednesday, so let me know if you did not receive them. The new due date for letting me know if you are coming is Monday the 26th. That's tomorrow. I look forward to seeing you there. The Book Light Book Club is extending their time in discussion of the book Dying to Be Me. Some of the folks missed out on the discussion, so they will add another time, and that will be October the 9th from 1 to 3. And then the next book that they will be reading is Becoming by Michelle Obama, and that discussion date is Sunday, November the 13th. And that's it for announcements.
Okay. All right, well, we know what time it is.
I know what time it is. It's time to say our affirmation for blessing the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say this affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right, and writing to our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So it's been a pleasure bringing you this service today.
Yes.
We look forward to seeing you in Zoom right after. We look forward to seeing you in person next Sunday, October the 2nd. Please remember to register. Let us know that you're coming. But other than that, have a wonderful week coming up. We know it's going to be cool this coming week, so enjoy that nice, cool weather.
Yes.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.